Hi there.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Okay. I'm okay, thanks.
Have quite a lot of adrenaline.
Oh no, that's nice. I
Yeah.
can have some.
Yeah. Why
Osmosis.
is it that adrenaline just like, I was quite hungry, and then now that I'm like, now I'm like not hungry. And I
Because
was
you're
really excited for dinner.
Oh, that's upsetting. Well, hopefully this will help to regulate you, and then by the time we're finished, you're like, my appetite's back. My digestive system has started digesting again.
Yes, let's. We shall hope. We live in
Science.
hope.
Science.
What have you discovered this week?
I've discovered many things, but none that are particularly apt for the IQ podcast. I don't think I've read anything wildly excited or discovered anything wildly exciting. I was at an event at the weekend, which was great, and it was run by a couple of gym owners, and one who I work with, Abby, and it was just a room full of PTs, just filled with, just EIQ type PTs. When you just think you're great, and it's such a buzz of like, this is the industry of, because you can get lost obviously online, and we haven't done an EIQ like event in a while, and so we obviously get to chat on here, which is amazing. But it's so nice just to get that buzz of like, this is the industry, solid quality personal trainers who just want to be better educated. So that was fantastic, nice to be around. But no, I personally have been actually kind of balls to the wall to try and navigate my own personal life whilst also trying to navigate my own business this week, which
Yeah,
happened.
hard. Hard when you're self-employed, especially.
It is, and I honestly do think like this would be a week. I feel like, again, I hope by now people know that when we talk about different work-life balances and things like that, my work people know that we kind of play up a little bit the extremes because we like to have the conversation about things. But like, I feel like this is the type of week I've had this week where I've had things going on and I've taken time out in the day and stuff. I feel like that's what people think that I do every week, and I've done it for 3 days and I'm like, I can't, I'm so behind. I'm so
Yeah, and
behind.
you
I'm
feel like you're drowning.
stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's that thing of like, people often think, oh, I don't like, if I have a really good balance then I won't feel like I'm drowning, and it's like, yeah, but that really good balance to feel like you're not drowning is probably still working more than you think to offset that feeling of drowning, but whilst also having some time off. So yeah, I'm just navigating that so you get
Yeah,
to
but
go
I
through.
think you have life balance when you don't have like extra unexpected things, you know, like, and it's like, okay, but when you add this and this to the mix, like, then it's obviously harder to balance, and that's totally normal, you know. Like, I think people then think they're doing something wrong. It's like, no, everyone feels overwhelmed at certain points. Like, that's pretty normal, that's fine. You know the thing that made me feel like warm EIQ vibes, and like, there's just so many incredible coaches in the industry this week, was the ad that you sent me that was like, I'm obviously not going to say who it was, but if anyone's seen it, then they can figure it out themselves. But it was like, do you ever like dread when your clients check in and you're like, oh my God, not again, she's so boring, or like, oh,
It's
she hasn't
struggling.
up to, oh, how dare one of my clients be struggling with the thing that I said that I'd help them with? Like, and then we were talking about it, and I was like, every single EIQ coach is like, how do I get my clients to check in more? How do I make sure they're okay? How do I offer them more support? Whereas this was like, yeah, what you need to do is start attracting clients that don't have as many problems, because then you can work less. It's like, one, that's such a fucking stupid business model. What? Oh yeah, do you know what? Come and work with me if you have no problems. Why would they stay? They don't have anything. Like, oh, do you struggle with this? No. Well, you should sign up anyway. That's going to be a good business model. Like, you, one, all of our coaches are coaches because they want to be coaches. They want to help people, and they want to do check-ins with people. Like, yeah.
Oh, it's
And two,
wild.
that business model is just not going to work.
It's wild to me that to be fair, some of the comments were like, "What are you talking about?" But the way
Oh,
that
I didn't look at mine.
some of the comments that were like, "I want to help people, that's my job," the replies were like,
Yes,
"Oh, you're
fucking
such
yes.
yeah." Some of the replies were like, "Oh, you're such a martyr, ha ha ha." And it's like, no, he's a coach, and it's truly wild to me that that's like it's acceptable. It really was like what pretty much word for word. A client who's struggling, the reason that you're getting clients who are struggling is because the way that you market. And if you don't want to have to deal with people who are struggling, then don't market to people's problems. And it's like, what are these? What do these people want? Like, it's just like, I don't, yeah, it's true. It is truly wild. And it's the classic, like, business mentor in the fitness space that is there to say, look how much money I've made, look at my life, you can also do this too by better business strategies, which are not better business strategies, as opposed to by being absolutely fucking great at what you do and wanting to help people and building a business off that. It was gross, and
It
it
was
made me
like
think.
business 101 is you solve people's problems. Every single successful business solves a problem.
I would love to know what the problems, what the workaround for that is. Like, okay, don't do this. So what do you do instead?
Yeah.
There was no alternative, shockingly.
Oh, well, you sign up for mentoring, babe.
Oh, and then you get the answer.
Yeah,
Of course.
yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Mentors
I'm
like that,
struggling.
I can't see how they are not just MLM schemes. Like,
Yeah.
essentially, it's like, join, like, pay me because I make all this money from scamming you, and I'll teach you how to scam other people. Like, that's the crux of it, is like, and I remember going to this event once. It was called the Rich Women's Event. I was invited by
Oh yeah,
Lauren Kickner. I was like, this is an MLM scheme. Like, it was like everyone in the audience was like, oh my God, look at how much money she's made. I was like, she's made money from selling to you. Like, made money from telling you how you're going to do the same thing, you know, like how you could create another little tribe of people to sell the same crap to. That, like, it was very bizarre.
wow. I'm having a few weeks of quite visit, like seeing questionable business strategies where I think, interesting. Interesting why you would go down that route. And I question a lot, but then not because I think that I'm always right. I just sometimes struggle to understand the premise of why other people would do certain things. You know, maybe I'm dumb.
Yeah, I think that might be it.
I think that too, to be honest.
Right, should we do some questions? But
Yeah, better. Let me just see if I can.
anyway, that did make me very proud of EIQ coaches. I was like, literally all we go over on EIQ and on AFM is like, how do you know, increase adherence? How do you get people to check in? How do we support our clients more? How do we get them better results? How can I upskill so that, I mean, like, everyone here is inherently like upskilling because they want to deliver the best results possible to their clients. Like, it is insane that there are parts of the industry that are just like that. But the thing is, why I don't feel quite so bad is like the coaches that would be attracted to that shouldn't be coaches anyway and
Yeah.
won't get results anyway. And I'm like, okay, great, take that advice.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
I'll be the complete opposite of it and attract the good coaches.
I totally agree. Okay, Laura's question. A question that I just don't have an explanation for. I have a client who has been weighing herself almost daily for 4 months. When she started initially, thought she would like to lose a bit of fat, but doesn't really have that goal anymore. She just likes training. She kept weighing herself nonetheless. Every single time she's weighed herself for 4 months, she has been exactly 70.3 kilograms, except once she has been 70.1. I have never seen anyone have basically zero fluctuations. I've asked her to get her boyfriend to weigh himself daily for a week just to check her scales are okay. But is this something that you've seen before? She doesn't take any contraception and has a normal cycle, yet no weight fluctuations. I've seen that before when scales are broken.
No, but she said her boyfriend weighed himself and they.
Well, they didn't say what's actually happened. It just said, I have asked her to get her boyfriend to weigh himself daily.
Oh, yeah. So my first thought would be scales are broken. But if her boyfriend's weighing and they are changing, then I don't know.
mean, she's just an anomaly.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like it's kind of like an interesting thing, but like there's nothing you need to do about it. If anything, it's probably quite nice for her not to be fluctuating up and down all the time, like quite consistent. Like if she did want to make any changes, then she knows like a consistent point of from which she's changing.
Yeah, that is interesting. Because some people don't see, for example, menstrual cycle fluctuations hugely. Those are bastards. But some people just don't get that as much. So that would make some sense. But most people will get shifts in things like if you eat a Domino's pizza as an example, you're going to be hit way more the next day. That's almost unavoidable just because of basic physiology. So that does seem questionable. What I would say, by the way, is I'm not saying there's definitely nothing wrong with her weighing every day. I'm not saying that there is. I would get curious around why that's still a focus. If she's got a great body image, she's confident in her body, she's not super feels like she's controlled by scales, she doesn't feel preoccupied by food, and she doesn't have any disordered habits around her body, exercise, food. Again, I'm not saying that there's a problem there, but what is the purpose of weighing every single day? Other than some sort of body control, which I would question if that's necessary. But again, not saying it's disordered, just something to one. I would get one about.
I thought you were just going to say she's got a good body. Yeah.
Does sound like something I was just saying
Yeah.
on the
All right. Nothing to add.
Leanne's question. Hi both. I have a client who's vegetarian but also has an allergy to nickel, which rules out things like legumes and soy, which obviously would help her get more protein into her diet. She is struggling to reach her minimum protein goal, let alone anywhere near having a quote-unquote high protein diet. Any tips on what I can suggest to help her? She doesn't like having the same thing every day and insists on variety each day. She has a fat loss goal. I have suggested dairy, whey, and beans, obviously not together. Also, sounds like something I might have eaten at one point in
Yeah. Do
my
you know what would go well in this whey protein shake? Butter beans. Ooh.
God, I love worrying. Also, how much would she really be missing out on if she doesn't get sufficient protein in? Her strength training is inconsistent, and it's something that we're working on, and goes probably one or two times per week, on top of playing netball one or two times per week. So I would base this off the RDA. BDA RDA is 0.8 grams per kilogram body mass per day. So I don't know what she weighs. If she weighs 100 kilograms, it's 80 grams per day. That would, for me, would be the minimum amount of protein I would recommend. So you can calculate that. But as being a vegetarian or vegan and not having some complete protein sources, i.e. soy, she probably would be beneficial to have more than that to make sure she's getting 80 grams of, or at least 80 grams of more predominantly essential amino acids, or complete protein sources. So usually I would air up for a vegetarian or a vegan if I was really looking at it that closely. Honestly, I think that you just need to have the conversation of there's only so much variety that exists in this world of protein sources. This is your variety, potential choices that you can have. Dairy, great. Whey, great. I don't know what else that you can eat, but go through a list of them and say these are the things that you can have. If you have a fat loss goal, some of them are going to be higher in fat and higher in carbohydrates. This is your minimum protein requirement, i.e. roughly 0.8 grams per kilogram body mass per day. And if you want to get variety in it, feel free to mix these sources up if you want. But physically, this is all that exists. So, because you
And then
can't
it's
just.
like, do you like in the nicest way, like, do you want results or excuses?
Yeah.
Realistically, you know, like if you don't eat enough protein, probably nothing like inherently like really bad is going to happen, but you won't get the result that you want. You know, like you won't recover as well from exercise, you won't build as much muscle, you probably won't be as satiated, you'll struggle with, you know, like that's just the way that it is. Now, either you decide you do want that enough to make some changes in your diet, or you decide that you don't, and it's not worth it to you. But you can't be like, well, I want all this variety, I don't want to eat the same thing. Okay, well then do you want the result? Because if not, fine, continue doing what you're doing. But if you do, then you'll have to change. don't know, sometimes with like I've had clients like that, and I'm they obviously don't last very long with me because I'm like, well, do you want to do some work or not? But sometimes it needs to be laid out like that. Like, don't know, if a coach was like, yeah, I really want to build an online business, but I just don't want to post at all on social media, it's like, okay, well, good luck then. Like, you
Yeah.
if you want a result, you will have to put in work. Like, same with anything in life, really. One thing I would add is that maybe things like Clearway, maybe if you can like get her to have that after a workout or something, and you know, if she wants a load of variety, the variety might have to come from a couple of different flavors of whey protein, or you know, different Clearway versus having a shake because that feels like a little bit different, or mixing it in with some yogurt so that that feels like a different meal than like a protein shake or something. But yeah.
Yeah. And also it's a choice to be vegetarian, which is another thing. Like, I accept as a vegetarian, I eat pretty much the same three or four proteins every pretty much. And I think sometimes though you can, especially if you're a meat eater, you can think of you often think of trying to create a balanced meal. And sometimes that balanced meal might look like beans on toast with half a protein bar or something like that, which is not going to be great for fat loss in terms of the energy density potentially. But you as
What if you
oh,
had some like courgette on the side? Yeah.
well, yeah.
A little bit of salt on it.
I've got beans and veggie sausages downstairs. I actually might have that for tea. Oh. But yeah, like you go if you're a meat eater yourself, sometimes when you look at putting meals together, you are thinking of okay, protein, veggies. And then like a bit of carbohydrate, whereas actually it might look like more of a traditional food with slightly meal with slightly less protein in it, but topped up with like I know Anna like loves to put like a big spoon of Greek yogurt onto things or whatever. Like sometimes what I'll do if I'm making like a
Every
curry.
single meal.
But it's just like
Yeah,
it's just
or
topping
if
it
you're
up.
the kind of vegetarian that eats eggs, put an egg on everything. They do that in Bali, don't they? In
They do.
Thailand. It's just like, do you want an egg on top? Yeah. Why not? Want
We got
a
one, didn't
fried egg
we?
on that? Yeah.
Yeah. What are we? Sal with a fried egg. Absolutely. Thought of you yesterday. Went out for dinner. It was supposed to be a bit of a celebrating dinner. I was in a bad mood anyway. And then I got a shit salad. And it was a Mediterranean red sunny salad or something. They forgot to put the halloumi on it. The falafel tasted like minced
Dry.
vegetables. No, like minced vegetables. It was like mush. And then it was like half a bowl of couscous with rocket. And then it was just they forgot half the ingredients, and I was so upset. I just ate a bowl of chips, and I was well. I mean, I ate the vegetables around it, but I was psyching myself up to for them to say, "How was your meal?" And I was going to be honest, and then they didn't ask me. So obviously, I wasn't just going to
They
vocalize.
probably knew. Yeah,
Yeah, they
people
could see me picking at
ask actually. Do you remember that salad that we got in London? We ordered it when we were in Battersea. It was the worst salad.
what's that?
I don't know what I had in it, but it was like rock hard. It was like fake chicken, but it was just like, oh no, wait, you had it. Then I ended up eating it. Yeah.
And yeah, that was disgusting.
That was not good.
That was like solid fake chicken. Don't recommend your client eats that.
Ooh.
Anything that says not chicken, I question. No. And I think it's after that scarred me. Ladies' question. Hello, I hope you're both well. I have a client who isn't dieting and says she hasn't ever intentionally dieted. Oh, side note. I was in a bookshop today, looking at baby books, and one of them was called Intuitive Weaning. Almost bought it. Refrained.
Oh.
Maybe for later. I wonder if it's got like the same principles in it of
Yeah,
intuitive.
just reframing
Baby,
the baby.
baby, you've got
Have
unconditional.
unconditional permission to boob.
You still feel hungry? I can feel in your tummy. That
You
baby.
hungry or are you just emotional?
Okay, so I have a client who isn't dieting and says she has never intentionally dieted. But through our recent conversations, has mentioned that she feels happier when her jeans are looser because this proves to herself that she's in control of her body. I've suggested bringing in some body functionality practices, and she is keen on this, wanting to focus more on what her body can do for her and being grateful for this, but is still noticing a fear around getting older and infirmity. Does that mean like getting softer?
Yeah, never heard it re referred to as that, but yeah.
Any tips on how to keep supporting her with this, please? I'm still quite new to navigating this and would appreciate any. advice. You can go.
Sorry, I got distracted.
What bag?
I don't know, nothing really.
Thinking about fake chicken. Okay.
Wait, she doesn't have a fat loss goal.
No, but she doesn't. She never died before. But she says that she likes when her jeans are looser because it says that she's in control of her body, and she's open to body functionality practices. I mean, you're doing a great thing. And I think what's amazing is that you've had this conversation with someone who isn't dieting. So the fact that you've got a relationship with this person, that they feel that they can say that to you, not in like a dieting sense, I think is fantastic. And you should be proud of that relationship dynamic that you've created. Trying to think how I would.
I don't know if I fully understand what you're asking.
I think it's just any tips on how to keep supporting with her this, supporting her with this. I think body functionality, great. I would probably, if it were me, a lot of my check-in responses tend to be kind of like journal type prompts for them to work through. So I would probably focus some of the questions around that, like, what does being in a bigger body mean to you? Where has this what's the word? Narrative. Where do you feel this narrative has come from? Is this a narrative that you want to keep hold of? What do you think, maintenance or settling range might look like? How would it feel for you to fluctuate within that settling range? Does her eating change based on how tight her jeans feel, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Again, it's about thinking about the intention behind it, maybe getting curious about some of the emotions, feelings around, like, okay, what does she feel when if her jeans do get tighter? Is it like a guilt or a self-worth thing? Or is it, oh, I'm just going to not eat some dairy milk at dinner? Because again, different intentions. So I think it's more about curiosity and bringing things to the surface. And sometimes when those things come to the surface, it's not that you're just going to fix them. It's more just bring for people to get aware of these things and think, oh, how does that impact my habits? Do I find myself restricting for a week, uncomfortably so, when my jeans get a bit tighter, when actually it's just a natural fluctuation, hormonal, for example, that would come back down again, and I don't need to do that. So it's, I would. There's probably, I think we're probably a bit stuck because there's not necessarily something obvious that has to be resolved there beyond like what you're doing. So it's more, I would say, just more about understanding some more of it, I think. Okay. Please question. Hello, both. I hope you're both doing well. Thriving, Natalie. I have questions that probably don't make any sense. I won't say the S word as you say not to say when asking questions. Great, thank you. I was like,
But
sense,
she
is that?
did kind of get it in, didn't she?
Yeah, but I
I'm
think
not going to say this, but I think.
sorry. How does lowering carb intake reduce appetite? Is it more to do with the increase in protein intake creating satiety? What are the effects on hunger hormones? I looked up studies on this and couldn't quite get a full understanding. There's the next part, but I
First
think.
part.
Yeah.
It's normally related to ketosis, seems to be. I think there's also, it's hard to extrapolate whether it is, there might be an element of increased protein on a practical level. There might be an increase in food volume. So those are other things to consider as well. But yeah, you also see it on very low calorie diets as well, and it seems to be related to ketones.
And it is quite variable between people, isn't it? So some people find that their hunger or their appetite is reduced more so on low carb versus low fat, but for other people, they don't see that variety. So if someone was struggling with their feeling very hungry, there are obviously lots of things to consider there, but it's not a necessary tick box of, oh, okay, let's lower your carbs, but that for some people, they might find that helpful for them. I'm just starting out really with my whole nutrition coaching, although I did in parts with people. I normally just focus on rehab and mindset for that in terms of injury and training. So I feel I have a lot to learn, which is why I wanted to do EIQ. Great. In general terms of things I hear from people about food lately, okay, this is quite long, so bear with, and finding it is a weakness of mine at present in terms of approach and solutions. So people labeling foods as good and bad with having a real attachment to it, I've been getting them to write down or discuss what rules they have, why it's deemed as bad or good, and try to explain or get them to explain what it actually means. But I feel I am stuck for how to help further or approaches to use to help them change this thought process. What other ways or research can I look into to help? So you can look up food neutrality and dichotomous thinking around food. That's what like that's what you're explaining, this kind of black or white, good or bad mentality around food. A lot of the intuitive eating pieces of work will talk about what food neutrality is, and I'm sure that there are lots of things online that give you examples of tools that you can use to help people develop a more neutral approach to food. At ETPHD, we would do things like, yes, amazing what you've done in terms of getting curious about it. But then, we would probably look more at, okay, let's start incorporating them in more regularly instead of keeping them for a quote unquote treat or keeping them for certain days of the week. Can you incorporate them mindfully? Is it actually something that you genuinely still enjoy, or is it something that you've deemed as bad so you get some sort of pleasure from it because it's restricted in some way? And realistically, the only thing we one of the key ways to make things more neutral is by not overly restricting it in the first place, however you want to reintroduce that. Sometimes people don't think that they're restricting, but actually when they unpack it, it's like they're not restricting, but they still only will allow themselves to have, they won't buy bread, they'll just have sandwiches when they're out, for example, or something like that. And it's like just getting curious about some of the lingering things.
Yeah, I think the other thing is you're probably doing all these right things, but sometimes you assume that if you just explain it in the right way, it'll just click straight away. It's like, oh, if I just read that technique, tell a client to do it, and suddenly no good or bad, they'll fix their dichotomous thinking around food. It normally takes months and months of consistent talking about it, them actually being open to it. Because initially, when you bring it up, they're probably like, okay, but like, I don't really care about that. I'm still going to call this bad. And then after a while, they're like, okay, well, now I kind of understand why it's not really helpful to me to do that. Then they start thinking about changing that behavior or changing that thought process. And then that takes some time as well. So don't think that you're doing anything wrong or that like you need to, yeah, sometimes it's just like the time, the constant reassurance. And that's really what like mindset change is about. You're not going to do it in a month.
Agree. Also, when I asked a couple of clients what it would be like to free of these food rules and what it would mean for them, a few answered that they are scared to see foods as I can have that and like to have it as naughty or bad food as it stops them from overeating. I understand that mentality, as I myself have battled in, but more scale of fear of food and weight gain to stay lean. I know this isn't a healthy mindset. How can we create or amend to a new safety behavior that doesn't restrict or feel like we will lose control? You'll get a lot from the non-diet nutrition lecture, which is in the next bundle, which goes into this more. So that's released on Monday, so that will help. I think unpicking, and you'll probably when you get watch the lecture, this will make more sense. But unpicking the reality that dichotomous thinking does not lead to more to lower BMI. It doesn't lead to reduced overeating. In fact, it's linked with increased overeating, increased risk of binge eating, and intuitive eating principles on the whole. Like, I don't mean the actual specific paradigm, but I mean things like dichotomous thinking, unconditional permission to eat, etc. They're actually associated with lower BMI, not higher BMI. So once you've done non-diet nutrition, you'll see more of the specifics of that. But for now, it's about you recognizing that. And then helping your clients to understand that. And it can be as simple as saying that, oh, it's really interesting. A lot of people think that when they have foods as like bad foods, that it helps them with self-control in some way. But actually, what we tend to see and what I've seen with clients and what I know from the research is that the opposite is true. It just is a hard thing for us to get our heads around. And that can be as
And
simple as
also, when you talk through that with people, They're like, because you're like, okay, well, you know, what happens when you do eat these quote unquote bad foods? Oh, well, I feel bad. And then I end up eating more of them. And then I end up, you know, like having a whole weekend of a binge. And then this happens and this happens. And it's like, right, okay. It's the same kind of thought process as like perfectionism. People are like, I don't want to let go of that because if I don't hold myself to these unrealistic standards, I'll just get lazy. And when you point out, actually, perfectionism is your excuse to give up. And you're like, but what if we took that away? Then you'd still, you know, even if you went slightly over your calories, you wouldn't have an excuse to give up. And actually, you'd get significantly better results. And that's one of the biggest changes that you see with people that actually start to get results. Like, but talking through that and even pointing out, like, okay, well, tell me about what happened the last time you had a bad food. Because I can bet they weren't like, oh, I just had one biscuit and then I just moved on with my day. And then they're like, okay, right, I am noticing this pattern in myself, in my own behaviors. And same with perfectionism. Okay, well, tell me what happened last time you tried to stick to a 1200 calorie meal plan. Well, then I had one, you know, like was this one meal that I couldn't. And then after I went out for dinner, I just thought, well, I'm not on the meal plan anymore. And then it went out the window. Okay, well, what if you had more flexibility there? Would you have stayed, you know, consistent with choices that were in line with your goal? Much more likely to. And then it, again, it's the same thing. Like, no one hears that once and is like, huh. But over time, with different examples and different analogies that resonate with different people, and use it, you know, like maybe a story of what happened to you and how your mindset changed, or maybe a client story that you're speaking about, or maybe use the individual. Like, it's just the same stuff again and again and again. Like, this is why we both do hours and hours and hours of podcasts, because that's what it takes to get into someone's head. And to change the way that they're thinking.
Agree. Okay, we can lose weight without tracking, which I understand, but with tracking, it can help see the quality of the food. It can't show the quality of the food. But regardless, understand what's in it, such as energy and macros, etc. Absolutely. So, how best to help people who don't want to track due to it causing anxiety for them or obsessing, or they don't feel they can tolerate it? How to then understand what's in food and portions? Is it best as visual examples, as in I provide context by showing pictures of measured out food and what that contains? I think that we over rely on tracking. I think, like, we've spoken about this before. Like, we both agree that we over rely on tracking. In fact, a large proportion of the talk that I gave on Saturday was kind of about this sort of thing. And it's easier for us, and it can absolutely be a good educational tool. And there's an element of, could you track for a week, just to, like, track what you normally eat for a week, and that's it, and then base off, okay, normally you eat 30 grams of protein in a day. Okay, so what we want to do is increase your portion size of protein, right? That would be quite low, but regardless, right? Just looking at these things. So you could try something like that. But honestly, like, I'm sure the BDA will have portion sizes for carbohydrates, fat, and protein that you can use, or you can make your own kind of like branded. I don't mean a big educational resource, I just mean like a one side of Canva that's like, this is what a protein serving would look like a fist. This is what a vegetable and fruits might look like. This is what carbohydrates might look like. Fat. This is polyunsaturated fat. This might want to look like. And it doesn't have to be complex. And you can do that. And the thing is, you can also say things like, be mindful of your snacking. Be mindful of, like, your hunger changing throughout your meals. Notice when you get full. Stop before you get uncomfortably full. You could have these conversations, and then ultimately, if they have a fat loss goal and they're not losing body fat over time, then something needs to change. And for some people, it might be, okay, maybe we need to bring a tracking again for a week. Let's just see what's going on. But just give it a try. You're not going to know unless you try it. And then if they don't want to track, then there has to be an expectation of maybe it will be a bit slower for them. Not definitely, but maybe. And that's okay. That's part of not tracking.
I don't know. I think a lot of people now are so obsessed with the numbers. It's like, well, how will I know exactly the size of deficit I'm in? I'm like, you won't. And you won't if you track. Like, it's not how, but it will give you know, I guess it gives you like some kind of consistency, but even not really if you've got a lot of variety in your diet. I mean, one of the simplest ways to do this is to give people not a meal plan, but like, okay, here's like three or four breakfast options that you like. They're all around 300 or 400 calories. Great. Here's three or four lunch options. And then you're going to have a couple of snacks. And it's like, okay, well, now we know roughly you're having X amount of calories. If you do that consistently and you're not losing weight, then we swap a few things out, or we look at your portion sizes again, or, and you just eat a little bit less. Like, that's the most basic way to do it. Like, and I've always dieted like that. I'm like, okay, set something up that's relatively consistent. If I'm not getting the results that I want, I'll just swap something out that I know is going to be lower calories. Done.
Do you find, so I've done that a few times and I find that I massively undereat when I do that. And then it's not bad because I'll lose weight and then I'll be like, oh, I've definitely not been eating as much as that. I always overestimate in my head kind of when I do something like that. I never would underestimate. And I don't know if that's a me thing or what, but whenever I don't track, I'll tend to lose weight faster back in the
Oh,
day.
No, I agree. Because I'll round up. I'll be like, that's probably, if I know it's like, I don't know, 250 calories, I'm like, it's 300 calories. Or, and I always, always round up. So, and then by the end of the day, you could be like in a 300, 400 calorie deficit bigger than what you expected. So you're right. Yeah. And I think most people are probably quite, like, quote unquote, fair with themselves of like, oh, that was exactly 200 and whatever calories. And then it's like, whereas, yeah, I'll, and I would say if someone's doing that and they want to lose fat, that you should be rounding up, especially if you're eating out. It's like, oh, this Nando's says that it's this much. It's
Agree.
not. Like, they want it to look low calories so that you order more, right? So the likelihood is it's going to be a bit more than what you think.
Agree.
I think it's harder for people not to track when they don't have the food education on what carbs, protein, etc. actually is. So giving examples of what protein, carb, etc. would be really helpful. Yeah, I think sometimes as well, when you've been doing this a while, it's really hard to get back into your head of like, some people have absolutely no like understanding of like what a good carbohydrate source is. And you can kind of assume that you're like, well, yeah, all you need to do is pick a protein source and then like add some fruit and veg, and then like, you've got meal there. Like, you'll be, but there you go. And they're like, I like, what is this protein bagel a protein source? It's like, no, it's got like 5 grams of protein in it. Like, of course it's not. But yeah, so make sure you know where your client is. But that's a really simple thing to do if you're working with someone, especially one-on-one. You could be like, go away. Write down what you like to eat. Write a bit of a, a plan for what you're going to have the next day. Planning will certainly help adherence anyway. So they're going to plan it out. Then send it to me. I'll have a look over it. And they're like, okay, well, where's the protein at breakfast? Or, and you can like work with them based on what they want to do.
And most dietitians will never use tracking and get the results that they're, and I mean, I don't mean, sometimes when we think of dietitians, we only think of like healthy eating or eating disorder, but a lot of dietitians work in specifically in weight loss clinics and they don't use tracking. It's just that we, the fitness industry, believe as a whole tracking. But you can only learn to not track if you've tracked first. And that's just a narrative that's been pushed so hard that it sometimes can feel a bit hard to go, actually, there are many other ways to do this.
Yeah. Do you know what I find really interesting about dietitians? Now, this isn't like all dietitians, although like most of the ones I've come across do this, where the standard is you go in, you pay for an hour consultation, you get sent away with like a PDF that's like, some advice that you've spoken about, kind of like roundup of that meeting. And then it's like, come back in a month. And it's like, but the like it's behavior change, right? But more than anything else. But so if you tell someone, like, imagine we were like that with our clients, right? Here's what you need to do, see you in a month.
No.
No one would get any results.
I wonder if why there's an element, again, this is some, I'm sure, minority of dietitians and I'm sure other professions, but I wonder if that's why so many of that part of the population are anti-diet, because when they give diet advice like that, it doesn't work. That's exactly the type of diets we know don't work. And so it confirms that bias of like, yeah, but diets don't really work. I've never seen it work.
And maybe it's because the model's been based off kind of like an NHS model, which is fair enough. Like, there's not that much funding in the NHS. And like, if you need to give someone information to go away with to action, like, they don't have time to be calling them every week and checking in on them and creating report. Like it's not what their job was made to do. But then if you are going to a dietitian for like improving your lifestyle and behavior change and stuff and weight loss specifically, you'd need like weight loss is behavior change more than anything else.
I've had some great conversations with Roz about this because obviously Roz is a dietitian who works for the EDPHD and she's an ED dietitian, but she does support weight loss because many of her clients have recovered from eating disorders and they're in larger bodies and they want to lose weight for their health. And we've had a lot of conversations around this because it's not necessarily something that, 2 years ago she would have thought, oh, that would be the healthful thing for me to do or the right thing for me to do, whereas now she can see the benefits of a holistic approach. But I do think there's an element of like the way that they're trained in that NHS model way.
And I
Okay.
think well, the industry norm, it's like you just do, that's just how we work.
Yeah.
And then the same happens with us, like everyone kind of does like a weekly check-in or bi-weekly, like everyone follows a kind of like coaching pattern. And sometimes we don't, dietitians are probably so used to that they don't potentially step back and think about it. And we're probably so used to what we do that we, like a lot of us probably don't question that either. We're just like, well, that's what you do.
Agree. Okay, Libby's question. Me again. Like I said, I'm new to this. I think that's your way of justifying why you're asking a question, Libby. Your questions are always welcome. You don't need to justify them, and they're always great.
They're always welcome, but Amelia will tell you off.
Every time. No, because they're always good questions. I have a client wanting to lose fat, but after 2 months is only seeing marginal change. They aren't tracking, but we have been through some nutrition fundamentals. They are moving their body a bit more across the week. Stress is low and they sleep well. Does that feel like? Kidding. Kidding. Only as stressed as you tell yourself you are. They have reduced, I have my body battery went down in the night instead of up last night. Livid. I don't like this watch anymore. They have reduced snacking and portion sizes and are eating mindfully when they can and haven't reported any emotional overeating and don't show signs of over-restriction or disordered eating. I know there are likely a plethora, great word, of things that could come into play here, but I can find it tricky to know where to go next when there are no logs to give me a lead. Any advice would be so appreciated.
I thought that was like an old one, like there's no logs to give me a lead, but now I get like data to look at.
Yeah.
I'd probably go back and like look at, okay, what have you been doing consistently over the last month? If we're not getting the results that we want, we need to somehow create a bigger deficit. What does that look like? What's your steps at the moment? Can we increase that? What's your nutrition like at the moment? Even talking through a day, okay, well, actually, your second coffee. We're not having a latte anymore. We're just going to have an Americano with a dash of milk. Because there'll be small changes that you can make that she'll barely even notice, but will create another 200 calorie deficit.
I agree. And it's not the a mean thing to say, okay, so we're not in enough of a deficit. That's absolutely fine. And again, it's putting the autonomy on her. It's not the right turn of phrase, but you know what I mean. And saying like, okay, these are our options, nutrition-wise, movement-wise. Where do you feel that you could put some more intention in for the next week or next couple of weeks from these options and what feels doable for you? And letting her decide. And yeah, I say it's adherence. It might not be, she's either not adhering to what she's saying she's doing or needs to do more and or be more, eat less. You know what I mean by that.
Yeah, and it is okay, well then you need to eat less or move more. But like just saying that isn't helpful, right? So then it's like, okay, well, let's make a plan for that. Let's see what you are doing. Let's see where, do you think you could do any more steps? No, not at the moment. Can do that. Okay, right. Well then we need to look at nutrition. Or yeah, okay, I could do a little bit of both. I could add in a 10-minute walk or something, and I could look at doing this.
Okay.
Okay, Natalie, thank you both. Really helpful and also reassuring for me. I meant quality food as in contains the amount of protein and fiber, etc. But bad explanation from me, not at all. She's
Or
looking
just
forward
being annoying.
to it. Yeah, Amelia loves to be pedantic, so do
Yeah, exactly. It's just me.
Anyway, yeah, agree on people don't know what the macronutrients are and potentially are a little clueless when I mention how to build a plate of food. But thank you, all really useful info I can put into practice with people. Anyone else nod along and answer back like yes, oh, as if you can see me. Love that. Libby's just saying, I feel you, Amelia. I slept for 8 hours last night and woke up with a bat with a body of 50. Or a
Oh,
body battery of
that is 50. I woke up with a 35. So you just
wait,
jog
what
on.
are you guys talking about?
Body battery on the wee Garmin, on the Garmin watch. It looks like
Oh,
I know I've
you're
become
one of
a bit.
those now.
No, it's because I had to get one for my heart rate for training, and then I was like, well, body battery is probably quite a good thing for me to be mindful of right now, whilst I can
I just
be.
thought you'd made something. I was like, yeah, your body, okay.
No, I'm just an asshole. I don't
So why did you decide on a Garmin, not a what, an Apple Watch?
want anything that notifies me of anything. I don't want it to remind me of my phone. I don't want it to
Okay.
be synced into that world. I want it to
Well,
be.
an Aura ring.
I thought that, but the idea being is that when I'm out for a run or when I'm doing certain sessions, I want to be able to see my heart rate straight away to make sure that I'm not consistently way high. So I'd have to look at my phone for that. Because I did look at them, because I do like them. But
Yeah,
then,
I quite like them. But
yeah,
you
they
are
didn't.
tech bro.
Yeah, I know. They do look nicer than a Garmin watch, but the whole point was my heart rate. And then I would just be like doing it for aesthetics. And I
Yeah.
don't. Sadly. Okay. Thanks for your questions, everyone.
Amazing questions. Yeah, that's all. Okay, good
Bye.
one.